You're listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. We've made it to episode 3.
Welcome to episode 3.
Number 3. Now, it took a while to get episode... This is going to be like a bonus, because episode 2 took me a week to edit and get up, because I worked 80 hours my normal job, so...
You're slacking.
Yeah, I'm slacking. Sorry, I couldn't put in like another like 30 hours. It wouldn't take that long, but I did more work on last one, so... But... Here we are. So it's just two of us. So we don't have our live audience this week.
Yeah, Stacy is not here. It is Parade Day weekend.
Ah, Parade Day.
And I don't do Parade Day. And she does. So she's going out with her friends. So tonight, I guess they're going for bagels and stuff for breakfast tomorrow. And so she'd rather just do that. And which
there's
is
nothing
kinda,
wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing for me.
Yeah.
For her... You're going to a party in the morning, but you're spending all of the Friday. Right, you're cleaning your house. But it's not a party. So she's just having her friends that she knows over. So she's going to spend all night tonight vacuuming and cleaning and going for bagels and breakfast stuff.
Where's
just
my
so
bagels?
You could wake up. What?
So where's my bagels?
I don't fucking mind. But that's the thing. It's like I don't know. But anyway, I mean, it's a tradition for them, so good for them.
Yeah.
But that frees up me for tonight, or us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she did text and say that she's kind of upset because she's kind of mad that we're here, and we're going to probably order wings and...
Watch some kind of crazy-ass movie on Netflix, do a little podcasting, and have a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're from the area, or know of the area, and you don't know about Parade Day in Scranton... We talked about this in the first episode.
Is it first or second? Okay, first.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. So it is the party of parties. It's one. I think it's the top three.
I think it's the top
parades
three.
For any parade.
Yes.
Not just St. Patrick's Day, of any parade in the country.
And it's
a good time.
It's a good time.
I got to work tomorrow.
No.
And
no.
If I have to work in Scranton, I am gonna be so mad.
Two years ago. It's gonna suck. I had to go out for something, and I was on the other side of the city, and I completely forgot about Parade Day, and I got off in the city, and I went, what's all this? And I was, son of a
Why
bitch.
Are there so many drunk people climbing on my car?
No, well, it wasn't even that. Excuse me. I got into this, as soon as I turned into the city, it was just stopped. And then I couldn't move. I'm like, oh my God. And I sat there for about half an hour to 45 minutes just to get to somewhere where I can turn and go back out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's impossible. So if you don't want to go to the parade and, you're in the area, just steer clear of Scranton. It's like, it's worse than Orlando during rush hour.
Yeah.
Trying to get through Orlando. It's horrible. It's horrible.
I mean, for all those people who like to party and go down there.
Oh, it's fun as hell.
It's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, if that's what you're going for, it is. Right. It is a fun time. Be ready to drink, eat lots of bread.
Yeah.
And just be safe. But, man, if you don't have to be in the area, man, steer clear.
Well, that's the thing is that Stacy, she's always like, why don't you come out, you know, hang out, come out. And first of all, I don't like big crowds.
No, me neither.
But... If I'm going out with them, there's probably not going to be any guys there, so it's going to be like 6 to 8 women and me. And if I go downtown with like 8 women and me, I'm going to start feeling protective because there's going to be guys there drinking and hitting on everybody. Yeah. And then I'm not going to have a good time because I can't drink because I'm going to be worried about everybody I'm with.
Yeah, you go into that mode, like Big Brother mode. Like, what are you looking at?
It's like, hey. I have
awesome
had,
sound effects too. That
was actually pretty good. Yeah. I mean, one of my fondest memories is when I was down there with it was my sister and her boyfriend at the time, married now, but I think they were only dating. And there was a handful of us out there, and we started playing chicken at Rocky's. Oddly enough, there's a lot of Rocco's around here.
Yeah, but popular name.
The one bar, and I can't recall how late it was. It was a good time. We were having a really good time. And I don't remember who was on my shoulders. My sister was on her current husband's shoulders. And we just, for some reason, it sounded like a really good idea to play chicken. And it was. It was
on the concrete? Awful,
no, in the bar.
Oh, in the bar.
Oh, awesome. I missed that part. On parade day.
There's probably no chance you actually landing on the floor. It was probably so packed.
You couldn't move, and we were still playing chicken. And I don't know why, but they thought that was bad. You know,
in the bar.
Yeah. In the bar. Yeah.
About insurance.
So they kicked us out. So you guys have to leave.
Having fun.
You know, but I mean, it was one of my favorite parade day memories. And I can't recall a lot of what happened before because it wasn't memorable. I mean, not that I wasn't that drunk. I just can't remember. And after that, I don't remember. But that one memory of me and my sister and my current brother-in-law
playing chicken
and getting kicked out of that bar on parade day.
Awesome.
It's just a really awesome memory. No, we didn't do anything. We didn't hurt anybody.
No, but they don't like stuff like that.
Well, you can't do that.
You can't do that. They frown upon that.
Yeah,
Imagine that today. You're a terrorist. You're getting thrown away.
Well, I hope not.
There's a lot of people
on top tomorrow.
We were, I grew up outside of Scranton. We lived on like 70 acres of property. We had lots of space. And I remember coming to the parade one year and getting one of those, what do they call them now? Fazuzalas, or those big horns, those big plastic. Remember back a couple years ago? Yeah, there was a big to-do about these things because I guess it was like the World Cup. Soccer.
And it was too noisy.
It was too noisy. Well, they used to sell those down at the parade. And I remember getting one of those. And it was green, of course, because St. Patrick's Day. And we, you know, you're blowing the thing. And they are completely obnoxious. But we used to use that on our property because we'd be out playing.
We'd be out
in the back. Yeah, and it was dinner time or something. My mom would go up to my, like, call my brother-in-law.
Excuse me.
Oh, nice. Who lived right up the street. Right, and she'd be like, you know, grab this horn, and so also you just hear this. It's like the outback of, and you come running to the house. What's going on? it was pretty funny.
We used to have this. I could not do it now because once I hit puberty, I don't think I could do it. There was this call from up in Bunker Hill that it was like this high pitched. It was like. I can't even do it.
Like a Sasquatch call?
No, it was just like this call. you'd put your hands together and you use, you know, it's not a whistle and you just make this like, or whatever. I can't even, I apologize because I can't even try to do it.
We got to try to get you. But we won't do it right now. Let's see if we can get that later. And edit that in.
But you could do this and I think it was mostly a guy thing, but you could hear that as kids. You could hear it in completely across the entire neighborhood. So you knew, and you could almost tell, like, who was doing it. So it was. I mean, looking back, for anyone probably under, like, 35, that probably sounds really lame. But at the time when we were young, there was nothing except going out and having fun.
Yeah. Well, now it's your age. Right.
And so now, I mean, that was actually pretty cool because you knew other people were around and you go find them and you could do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our kind of call. My brother could do this other thing with his hands. It kind of sounded almost like the sound of like doves.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You kind of do the whole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I can't do it anymore. Do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
We used to use blades of grass, put it between your thumbs. You blow on it. It's like it creates a reed almost. Yeah. Well, and man, it's super freak out dogs. But yeah, it was fun.
It's funny you mention that because there was this other thing that someone, I think down the street from me, I can't remember who it was at the moment. You get a straw.
Mm-hmm.
You get the end of the straw, maybe about an inch in. You cut to a point. So you have one end flat opening. The other end is like a reed. It's like the V shape.
Yeah.
And you put that between your tongue and the roof of your mouth. And if you get it right, it was, and again, this really loud, high-pitched fucking squeal.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Or acorns, acorn caps. You hold those right.
I've never done acorn
caps. No? Yeah. If it's a big enough acorn, you hold it between your thumbs and you blow across it. It was kind of, it would make this really, like, it would make your head ring when you blew it. It was like this high-pitched whistle.
I've never heard of that.
No?
Before. No.
No, yeah. Well, when there's, we can see the ground again. I'll have to try, find some acorn caps, and I'll show you.
Well, it's funny you mention that. Well, like, well this is, hang on. What's today?
I don't know.
The 8th.
8th, yeah.
So today I got out of work before 5:30. Oddly enough.
Oh, and nice. I didn't have to, so it's like a bonus.
Yeah, it was only a couple hours overtime. So I left, and the sun was out, and I don't recall seeing the sun for a while.
No.
And then when I got in the house, I've been here for 3 years now. I've had this house, and I had the strangest thought cross my mind, is that I remember what my yard smells like in spring and summer. Never thought I would say something like that.
That's odd.
Well, yeah, you'd think it's weird. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, well, I know it's like when I cut grass and when I'm working out in the yard, I realized that the smell in my backyard is different from like the smell of my parents' backyard.
Well, and it
makes sense.
Different grass and different plants.
And this is the first year I thought to myself, you know, I kind of miss the smell of outside in my house. Like when I come home after a long day of work where I could just sit outside in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, enjoy, you know, just a nice thing of iced tea.
Well, I can think back when I was a kid and we had that pond in our backyard and it had a distinct smell. And I miss that. You go back there. And it wasn't algae, it wasn't that, but it was just like the organic smell of stuff that lived in the water and around the water that you miss it. Like I smell every once in a while, I'll be driving by somewhere and I'll get a whiff of it, and it just makes me think of it being a kid camping out in the backyard.
One of my fondest memories of being a kid is the smell of the creek. And I didn't think about the creek.
There's two E's in that word. It's the creek.
No, and we're mostly Italian from up there. But no, always call it the creek.
The creek is what you get in your neck.
Well, this is from Dunmore. We have our own words. Yeah. Like pank. You got to pank it down.
What?
Yeah, well, if you're working on something, you got to pank it down.
Hammer it down?
You got to pank it.
Pank it. See, you guys got weird words.
But anyway, there's whatever rocks that the river cuts through up here, which I would probably be really interesting to actually find out.
Yeah.
It creates this, well, like the smell of a river, but it's this mm-hmm. unique mineral smell.
Yeah, you get that over in Nayog.
Yeah, down and there. It's that same smell, and it's just not, like, thinking back, it's wonderful now.
Yeah.
Like, I could go back, and there was the one spot up there where I was hiking out there. This is probably maybe the end of high school. I might have been in college, and I found this giant boulder and just sitting in the stream, or the river, actually. And
The creek.
And I just and I went out there, and I just started, you know, looking at it. And because I saw something that didn't look like rock. And I went out there, and it was some sort of tube worm fossil. And I started looking at it, and it was this almost like a slate-colored, like a blue-gray stone just sitting out in the middle. And I'm looking at it, and I see all these, like, little weird little lines in it. So I just started, I picked up another rock, and I started smashing, like, the parts that had cracks in them. And I started pulling it back, and the tiniest little seashell fossils. And I sat there and I took one piece that I had, and it started flaking up a little bit. And I just started grabbed a couple handfuls, and I grabbed a piece of that rock. I have them here, too. And I just thought it was cool that, you know, some people have seashells from the shore,
mm-hmm.
where I have, like, you know, million-year-old seashells.
Fossils, yeah. Did you hear the Indiana Jones song in your head?
No.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, I don't know. No.
Dun, dun, dun.
But maybe I should have.
Maybe you should have. You get a little hat and a whip.
No, that's gay. but I actually...
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. You go with your whips and have fun.
Yeah.
but I that one piece of stone I still have. And every so often I have it, because I have a bunch of fossils. Around here there's tons of fossils. I mean, we're in the anthracite.
Oh, yeah.
At one time, the anthracite capital of the world.
Yes.
So there's fossils everywhere.
Yeah.
But this one stone, I have it. Well, the aliens put them there.
Or, I'm sorry, God
put them there to make it look like we're only 6,000 years old.
Yeah. I don't know why he'd do that, but
he's crafty. He's crafty.
He is. He's crafty.
And so this one stone I have there, and every year or so, I'm looking through the fossils, and it's in there, and it's still got some, you know, it's probably bigger than a golf ball, smaller than a baseball. And it smells like the river. So if I ever, no matter where I am, if I ever have that that desire or that longing to think about my childhood.
You just smell a rock.
I can smell a rock.
That's nice. Yeah. You should bottle that.
Rocks?
Yeah. Well, the rock smell. Pulverize them.
Huh.
Put them in water.
People might drink them.
Well, of course they're going to drink them. That's what people do. They drink stuff, ingest it. Maybe this will get me high. It'll be awesome.
That'd be kind of weird if that didn't get people high. Crushed up rocks in water. Or, if it's healthy, I can bottle it as mineral water.
Well, that's very true.
We'll call it crick water.
Crick water.
I'll have to show you where that rock is, if it's still there. Because we did have a couple of hurricanes come through since then, so I don't even know if it's there anymore. It was a big fucking rock.
Yeah. The only story I got like that is it was in a creek. That's what we called it in normal land. And that was...
You're not Italian.
I'm not Italian enough. but we had that large property out in the back of our house.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was neighbors. I don't even know whose property I was on. They didn't care back then. We just walked around and did whatever. And I was bored, and I was walking through the woods, and I was going through the creek or the stream. Or I don't know what you call it. And it sat down. There was the embankments were, like, high enough where I had to stand up and on my tippy toes to look over. And it's all kind of pine forest and maple trees.
Because
the guy who the family that owned that property or the property adjacent to it, had a maple syrup farm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's all lines going through there. Well, I don't know what you call that. I mean, it's a farm. I mean, it's trees are taking the sap from it. So there was sap lines running through the woods. And I'm in the creek, and I'm looking under rocks looking for salamanders or whatever, you know, because that's what you do out in the country when you're bored.
Yeah.
And I hear this broom, broom, broom. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I'm trying to look up over the embankment. And I see just two heads coming towards me, two black heads coming towards me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's two black bears playing in the woods.
Oh, my God.
And they are running directly at me. They can't see me, and they're just kind of chasing each other.
What the hell do you do?
Yeah, I can't scurry up the embankment because it's loose gravel and pine cones, and I'm like, holy shit. Are they coming for me, or do they not know I'm here? You know, you don't know what to think.
Yeah.
So it's getting louder. And you know that really kind of hollow-sounding, like, ground you get in, like, pine groves?
Yeah.
It's just kind of coming through the ground because they're large animals. And in Pennsylvania, we have the largest black bears of anywhere I've ever seen. And it's just getting boom, boom. And I'm like, hey, hey. I'm, like, trying to get their attention. And they get right to the edge of the embankment. And it's like they put on their brakes, like they're... Front legs go down, their rear legs come out, and they just screech to a halt, and they look at me.
Like, how far away?
10 feet.
All right, go ahead.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And they just look at me like, holy crap, and they turn and run the other way. And I, like, climb up the embankment, and I run the other way. But, oh, if they would have even just fallen, they maybe wouldn't have had to attack me. They would have just jumped in, like, not knowing I was there. I would have been crushed.
Well, or you would have been eaten.
Well, black bears don't really eat people.
Well, they would have they probably would have bit you out of fear.
Or they probably would have. Well, I don't know if they would have bit, but they would definitely swat it.
Well, that's just
you know they because you ever seen a bear like a black bear actually like get freaked out and attack? It's like a little kid who doesn't know how to fight. Like his paws are like like waving out in front of you. They're just like get away. If I you know just go.
I hope. I'm never close enough to a black bear to see how he fights.
Yeah, well, I actually saw a black bear get hit on the head with a bird feeder once, and that's exactly what he did. Like, my brother used to have these bird feeders, and he tried to keep them on a wire. He had, like, strings going across so that the squirrels and stuff can get to him. But the bear would come up and grab it and pull it down and dump the bird seed in his mouth.
Yeah. They're hungry.
Yeah, and you think it's such a big animal wouldn't eat like bird seed.
It does. They love it.
Yeah. It slipped out of his paws, shot straight up in the air, and came down and hit him in the head. And he swatted at it. He's like, oh, oh. It was the funniest thing, man. Like,
fuck you.
Yeah. He's like a big child is the only thing you can describe him as. They're actually very docile. They'll fight to protect themselves. But I've been me to you. Now, we're only 2 feet, three feet away. I have been actually closer than you and I to a black bear in the wild.
And man, I don't want to be that close to any wild. Well, no, I don't. No.
Yeah, but you get the same reaction. You had the same reaction as them. You both look at each other like, oh, holy God. I'm going that way.
It's an alien.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah.
It's a chupacabra.
Well, I told you about chupacabra. I told you about the time my mom woke me up. We had a black bear in our yard at night. I told my mom, I said, well, next time you see him, wake me up. I want to see him. And I used to sleepwalk. Hmm. So she comes upstairs and wakes me up, she thinks. And nice. That's a little Storm King stout going in a glass. And wakes me up, she thinks, brings me downstairs to the front room where we had there were like wooden Bilco doors. Hmm. And the bear is out there ripping through our garbage. And I'm still asleep. I'm not awake. I just kind of followed my mom down the stairs because I sleepwalk, and it was natural for me to move around when I'm sleeping. So I'm head against the glass, asleep.
Staring
old,
at the
mirror. Old glass. Yeah. Not double pane glass.
No, that handmade glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forehead against the glass. The bear gets up on the doors, puts his paws on the windowsill, and has his nose against the glass. I am literally nose to nose with a black bear. My mom's got a flashlight out the window, like, oh, is it? Look at that. And I wake up.
Face to face with a black bear?
Face to face, nose to nose with a black bear. And I open my eyes and I just freaked.
Yeah.
And the bear backs down the Bilco doors and runs. And my mom's like, what's going on? I'm like, what are you thinking? She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I wake up and there's a bear in my face. She's like, oh, I thought you were awake. Nope.
No.
I am now. Yeah, thanks. And I need to go change my pants.
And I won't be to sleep for a while.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'll never fall asleep again. But
funny thing is, that's the two for today.
That's the two?
And I was already talking about bears today.
Really?
Yeah. It was weird because the laptop at work, we had to get more memory because they... You know, why would you give us all the memory in our computers we would need? No. You'd have to, you know, ask for it and acquisition it. But so I'm in there talking to, the one rep, and she's putting it in. And I don't even remember how the fuck we got on the topic. And she started talking about black. I don't know if black bears are just bears. That's kind of weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird thing that happens around me is there's always that, too, where something that you normally wouldn't talk about, like, black bears or bears, and then it shows back up again.
Yeah, I had that weird thing where I will mention something that you haven't heard about or seen about in a long time, and it will either immediately pop up if there's a radio or TV on. It will immediately pop up. Like I was when I was down in Florida, I was talking about Chuck E. Cheese. I haven't thought about Chuck E. Cheese in years, and I don't think there was a Chuck E. Cheese near where we were. I was talking to my buddy, and the TV was on, and I'm like, "Oh, that's like Chuck E. Cheese," and no shit, like. Not a half a second later, a commercial came out, Chuck E. Cheese, and he just looked at the TV. I'm like, I swear to God, I didn't plan that.
That happens.
It just happens. And you'll notice, if you know, those who are listening, that we have absolutely nothing even put together for this show.
No, but I actually that. And I prefer it because it's not meant to be, for at least, for what I like. Here's the chair. And it's not meant to be... you're supposed to be listening to a conversation.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to be, just listening to a couple of guys having a conversation.
Yeah. But usually I try to have something...
Prepared?
Not prepared, but just in case we get to a spot where during the week, I'll make notes. If something happened, like the GPS or something like that, I'll be like, oh, this, that, just in case we get to a spot where we have nothing to talk about.
There's something.
I can just go, oh, but I've been so busy. I got my paycheck today. No, I get paid every week, but 2 weeks behind.
Yes.
So 2 weeks ago, I put in 77 hours.
Jesus Christ.
That was my light week. Now, last week will be less because I worked myself sick literally worked myself sick, and I had to take a day off, and I had 2 days off. So I had 3 full days off last week. But this week, I was at 40 hours on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's not...
That's a lot of
that's
hours.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
And it's kind of at the end of winter, so even though it sucks, it doesn't suck as bad if it was spring or summer.
Where you'd have more daylight. But half of my day, I work in the dark.
Right, but then, if that wasn't happening, you'd actually be able to enjoy it. Where now, you'd by the end of the day, you'd
I
come home.
I don't think I would ever enjoy 15 hours a day.
No, I mean the daylight.
Well, yeah, I'd enjoy it as it was.
It's like you're not missing the daylight too much.
Well, no, luckily I get to work outside mainly. So it's not like I'm stuck in an office for 15 hours a day where I leave and I'm like, oh, the sun's gone. Yeah. I at least get to see the outdoors. I get to work outdoors. But that's still, man, that's a lot
of
hours.
Oh, that's too much. Well, you're going to start to lose it after a while. I mean,
you only get
to a certain point and then you could do that. In moderation through the week, but if you're doing those hours every single day, by the end of the week,
it's hard to wake up. Yeah, it's hard to wake up and get out of bed and go, oh, I'm waking up now, and I won't get to go back to sleep for almost 20 hours.
Right, and then on top of that, your body, even when it's going to sleep, it's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just gonna relax. All I'm gonna do is close my eyes and relax because I'm not gonna sleep.
Well, what was it? 2 days ago, I woke up and I couldn't even. I went in like an hour late. I could not get going. I just couldn't get going. Finally went into work. Yesterday, I woke up and my body was actually vibrating when I woke up. You know, like you're still so tired.
Your body woke up scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what? No.
And it's not like shaking scared. It's still sleeping and it's trying to wake up as fast as it can.
Yeah, it's like shock. Yeah. It's like shock.
Yeah.
It's like when you hear a loud noise when you're sleeping, you wake up and all of a sudden you're on the floor, you're 5 feet from the bed and you don't remember getting there and your body's like, ooh. Yeah. Like at the time I was at a girl's house and she left for work and her dog walked in the room, walked right up to the bed, right in my face and barked in my face. I woke up in the hallway. I don't know how I got there. I was whoop, right out of the bed, on the floor, bare ass naked, in the hallway. Like, what just happened? What was... And I'm, like, shaking. I'm like, I just grabbed my clothes and I left.
That actually... Well, that's what I used to experience before I got the house, folks. I was living in an apartment where...
folks. Hey, folks, we're going down to the creek. Down to the creek.
I'm not a hick. but I was living in an apartment. It started off really great. And then I had some people that moved in that were...
loud,
obnoxious.
Yeah,
obnoxious. But they were, I think, I don't know for a fact, but I think they had bunk beds, and I think the one kid right above my bedroom would jump out of bed about 2-3 in the morning every night because it got to a point where my body wouldn't fall asleep.
You were expecting it.
Yeah. My body, like even though I would close my eyes and go to sleep, my body would know it's coming. So that would happen, and it's this shock where your heart is not, I don't even want to say it's pounding, but it's so much stress on top of the pounding. It was just not good.
No.
And that went on for like a year or so, and I don't even really know how I did it because at the end, I was like sleep deprived. I wasn't really sleeping. And it sucks.
Yes. Oh, I remember
really
that.
Really bad.
Yeah. I remember being on the phone and you're hitting the ceiling with stuff and like yelling at them. I could hear it on the phone. Oh, my God. They were loud.
The one time I had to go because they were having, I don't even know. I mean, it sounded like there was like 3 or 4 families it was a small apartment. There was 2 bedrooms.
Yeah. It wasn't big.
No, well, I don't even want to call them bedrooms. Like one was like more of an office, but.
Yeah. Well, they're about the same size as yours. Yeah. They're just set up the same way.
And I had to go and get the cops, and they actually, he called me because I had to leave. I'm like, I can't stay here. And he called me back. He's like, yeah. He goes, they must have been having some sort of party up there. And there was, you know, there was like 10, 15 kids running around. Like maybe that one day out of, you know.
Once in a while. But I mean, that was every night.
Every night.
And that's what prompted you to buy the house. I mean, just to get away from the people.
I mean, I liked the location. It was good rent. I liked the people who owned the building.
Yeah.
But it just got to the point where I couldn't function. And And then I was thinking, well, maybe I'll rent. And then I'm like, I might as well buy a house.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for what you're paying.
Right. Yeah. It's not, like, what, you're throwing away money if you're, you know what I mean? Like, if you're planning on sticking around, you might as well invest.
And this is a nice place.
I love it. I mean, everybody out there, you'll hear every once in a while a plane or a car.
The dog that barked before. Yeah. But, I mean, it's quiet. It's a nice neighborhood. It's an old neighborhood, which I love. I love the old neighborhoods.
Yeah, this is it's not coal money, but the streets were laid out back in the 1800s. I actually was lucky enough to get an old atlas map from 1873.
Yeah, it's badass.
That I happened across on eBay, and God knows why the hell I was even looking for it.
Why not?
But it was like $20, but it's an 1873 page, literal page from an atlas where they used to have books that were bound by string. Yeah. And you could actually see the string marks in this holes. And you could actually see the entire street and the neighborhood. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Where they actually drew the outlines of the houses. Hand painted. Yeah, that thing's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's that house. I just saw the house down here, the Smith house.
Oh, what's his name?
J.B. Smith.
Yeah, what the hell was he, coal money? He was like, he was something in one of the, well, maybe it was railroad.
Yeah, he was either railroad or coal.
Railroad or coal, yeah.
But they were, so either somebody just moved out of there or they just moved in because there was a moving truck out in front of that place.
Shit.
Yeah. And that house has got that stone step in front of it.
Step.
Yeah. I've seen that in other places because I walk around. I'd love to walk around. And because there's so much history around here, so much old history, and my family goes way back in this area. And I found another one of those coach steps.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a big stone that's been carved out as steps so people could get in. Yeah, carved into stone so they could get into the coaches, the horse-drawn coaches, without getting muddy.
Yeah. And it has the I don't know, I think it has the name and the street number, I think.
There's definitely something engraved in there.
On the same property, there's horse posts.
Yep. Yeah, and they're kind of tipped, but that whole section used to be that property, and now there's streets in there.
Has to be more than two blocks. Has to be three or four blocks long.
Yeah.
That on one of the old atlases, it was that whoever this guy was owned the entire block, and it was all his with servants' quarters. And then across the street from him, he owned, and at one time, that was even got to be 5 to 10 blocks long.
The park. Yeah.
And it was a park.
Yeah, we think was Savage Field. We can't verify that.
And then someone must have, I think they donated it. They commemorated it, I believe, for, was it Civil War or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess somewhere along the way,
they started building houses
on it.
So those streets all kind of end, and they're all messed up in there because that was never meant to be.
No, it was never. Well, that's never the one thing. I mean, it's really weird driving around here, but everything here was built before anybody had like even a carriage. Yeah. It's like maybe you'd have a horse.
Yeah. And it's just kind of laid out like because a lot of this was one property.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be this guy owned that, and that guy owned that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of had to add streets in as they got subdivided, and the streets are a disaster around here.
The layout.
Oh, and the streets themselves.
I mean, what they did is they got a landmark like there's a breaker. Here's a coal breaker, and here's I don't know what they were called at the time. Maybe a turnpike. You can't call it a highway. You can't call it whatever the hell it was. Just a road.
Yeah.
Because this is back in the 1800s. So they'd get a landmark, like there's a breaker, and then they'd get, you know, here's a landmark here, and then just create a straight path.
So we'll just...
Right. And then, so many years later, they'd, oh, here's another landmark. Well, we'll just make a straight path here. So you have all these streets that end in these
it's not a grid. Yeah, no. It's not a grid.
It's like, what is that, like 30 degree?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you got this street here, which comes off an angle, which doesn't quite meet the main street.
No.
So it's maybe 30 feet wide where it meets, and then it just angles off, and there's street. I mean, it could very well be a language. I don't know. I mean, if you were to look at it from space and look at the streets, It may actually say something.
Why didn't we ever think of this?
I don't know. Maybe, we should look at that from Google Maps.
Maybe there's a Masonic symbol.
Oh.
See where I'm going? Oddfellows.
There we go. Yeah. Well, yeah, the Oddfellows are really big around here.
They were? Those the Masonic
The Masonics temple. And the Oddfellows, yeah.
That's actually pretty weird.
It is. And maybe it means something. We should get that guy. Dun, 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 dun.
I put my shoe on. Bum, 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 bum. Tying laces. Bum, bum.
This is made by stonemasons. Yeah, no shit. 95% of houses around here are made by stonemasons. It's not a...
It was stone. There was nothing but stone.
Nothing but stone.
And they built them.
And they built them. And they were masons. Yeah, so there you go. Mystery solved. It wasn't the ancient Mesoamerican high priests of Azabupal. No, it was.
I think there was someone who made this. You're pretty good.
Yeah, it's you're a genius.
Chief, you're going pretty good.
Get a what's his name? Ventura in here. Tell him there's a conspiracy.
I think that somebody did something.
I'm going to get my kid. And we'll go down here and tell him.
That's actually pretty interesting,
I'm
the
governor. You let me know what's going on with these streets in this town.
I wonder if there's any kind of... I don't know. I just wonder if it looks a certain way. Now I'm going to have to look break out. Well, I'm going to have to go online and look at those old atlases.
When I used to live over in Oliphant, I told you about...
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Where the hell is that?
It's a coal mound, basically, where they used to dig the coal out and they'd put it on a big mound.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of... It's sloped, so they say it's a buried pyramid. And then... They said that it was the shape, the original outline of the burrow of Oliphant was drawn in the shape of the Sphinx, and that there is a portal to another dimension 5 miles over the town.
Yeah, I remember now.
Now, there are some crazy people in this area.
And also, anyone who's not in the area, you have to understand that coal mounds, you might not notice them. If you're not from here,
yeah,
you're driving down the highway.
You're just gonna see them.
You see just mountain ranges with trees and everything else.
Yeah.
You're not gonna know that it's just a giant pile of coal,
slag, broken, basically. Yeah, just unusable,
broken up, unusable coal.
Coal
that over the decades now, there's shit growing.
It's growing
on.
It's
now a forest.
Yeah,
and so they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. You can't. I mean, you could probably just go out and just look somewhere and go, oh, there's a
right.
But yeah, so they said there was a pyramid and that Oliphant was a portal to another dimension. Now, I lived there for a while, and I saw some strange things, but none of it had anything to do with a portal.
Doctor Who never showed up?
Yeah, Doctor Who never showed up. You know, the strangest thing I ever saw there was the dude who lived down the street who walked down the sidewalk in a white dress and carrying a parasol. That I don't think was paranormal. That was just unique.
You know, but you know what?
His poor daughter.
It's creative people like that that make life interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen anything, but if the end of the world comes, and that's an actual portal,
I think we'd know.
I'll eat my words.
Yeah, I'll eat my hat if that's an actual portal.
I'm not going to eat your hat.
I wouldn't. Well, one's not so bad,
but
the one I wear
to
work,
it
might have to. A little salt and pepper would be good. There's some Tabasco, A1, Worcestershire. Lee and Perrins. Something. A little grated cheese.
I wonder who Lee and Perrin is.
I don't know. This would be interesting to look up. Probably a couple of British dudes. There's sardines in that. Ground up sardines.
In Worcestershire?
Yeah.
It sounds like they might be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is.
It's an interesting taste,
which
but you can't
I
ever...
hate seafood, but I love that stuff.
Well, it's like Dr. Pepper. It's like the same kind of... I'm looking for a word.
Formula?
No.
Concoction?
Anyway, question. Whatever the hell. I don't know. Choose your own words. Friday,
Don't judge me. You're not the boss.
Don't judge me for being brain dead. I work in an office. But it's the same sort of thing with like Dr. Pepper where you taste something and you're like... This tastes like something.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like Worcestershire. You're like, this tastes like something. It's not bad.
It's just kind of like molasses-y. And
yeah, it's like, there's
salty. Oh, but it's so good. You put it in stew.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little soy. A little something. There's something in there, obviously. But it's good stuff. Put on a little steak. Oh, I haven't had a steak in a while.
Oh. Yeah, my parents. I went to see my parents last night after work. And I opened up the door. And the whole place smelled like steak.
Oh.
My mother's like, oh, I didn't know you were coming. I didn't make one. We don't have any left. And I'm like,
that's okay.
You know, like, you know that smell that lingers, that steak and onion smell? Yes.
Oh, with onions.
Oh,
they probably had
God.
A baked potato.
But my father's like, I think there's some peas left. And I'm like, it's not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's good with the steak, but just peas by themselves when you're smelling steak just ain't going to cut it.
It's just it's a wonderful smell.
You might just throw those peas in my face, Dad. Thanks a lot.
What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm just good enough for peas.
Yeah.
Well, you're eating steak.
What the hell? Yeah. Well, oddly enough, over in Oliphant, there is that butcher place that I've been wanting to try for years, and I just
never go by it. Excellent. My old neighbor's in Oliphant. I used to go over a lot for holidays and stuff like that, and he's Polish. He's got those Polish roots, and he makes the Polish food.
Oh.
Which is just pretty much anything and everything that you can put together, but there's always a lot of, like, sausage and...
Yeah, star potatoes.
Oh, my God. He makes some, like... Oh. And I went over for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah. I went down there. So they always got, like... It's like, oh, here's the turkey, and then here's some, like...
Here's homemade
sausage and mixed with onions and kibasi and all... Oh, my God.
Here's a big... giant, bigger than you could handle pot or glass dish of sauerkraut and kibasi.
Yeah. Now I want sauerkraut and kibasi.
Now I want sauerkraut, yeah. Yeah, now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I'm pretty hungry.
Excuse me. The Storm King is really getting to me.
Yes. Yes. You will never hear one of us say while we're doing this that my Budweiser is excellent.
No.
We don't drink that kind of stuff.
I'd be like saying, yo, I got to tie up my Chippewas and go out and take the flag off my truck. I don't know. But no, Budweiser.
Tie up my Chippewas?
Yeah, that's local.
What? No, they wear like the,
no,
whether it was Kmart boots.
Anyone
those
from around here may know.
Steer.
No.
Yeah, no, dude. Come on, they wear Carhartts and the Wild Steer boots.
Not here, no.
Yeah, they do.
Anyone
I've seen them.
Anyone from here will know that.
No, I know what Chippewas are.
I don't know. Well, no, you may have seen that, too.
Yeah, they wear those really tan work boots that you buy at Kmart. Not even Walmart, at Kmart. You know the ones I'm talking about, right?
There's nothing.
Hey, look, I've bought Kmart boots before.
Yeah.
And those ones I had when I first started this job, and I'm like, I'm just going to buy some cheap-ass boots. They worked fine, but man, were they crappy. Those Carolinas are so nice.
Carolinas are beautiful.
Oh, my God. I've never owned Carolinas. Those are the best boots. I need to get some kind of
odor eater
because they're so water resistant,
nothing
escapes.
Evaporates.
Nothing escapes the shoes.
I have a pair of Sub-Zero boots that I bought probably in like 92, and they're still wonderful, great boots.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing. Like you can't like put them on in the summer because you're not going to be able to
stand it.
You might last for an hour or two, but it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah, these things, and anybody who knows me, who has been around me when I've worked and taken my shoes off, my feet stink.
Well, you move and work for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing those, like, because it's cold, so I've got those heavy socks, like those wool socks, and that doesn't help. So I take my boots off at night, and I'm like, what? It smells like a cow died in here. Like 3 weeks ago, and it's still here.
Got to go online and see if you can find some natural remedies.
There's got to be something.
That actually
people's feet stink. I'm not going to put, like, deodorant. Look, feet stink. Give me something to put in my boots so that my boots don't stink.
Yeah.
I'm fine with my feet stinking. I can wash those. My boots.
Yeah, the boots.
Yeah, that gets to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, when you wake up first thing in the morning and you're walking around going, how's my boots? Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, like, they're right here underneath the table. I'm surprised you haven't been like, what died?
I don't smell. But that actually makes me wonder why I'm looking around here and I don't see a picture of my grandfather, who I have that picture of when he worked in the mines.
Isn't it over there?
No.
Was it with the family over there?
No, that's the other side. That's my mother's father. Where there's actually a shot of him when he got out of the coal mines. He actually has a coal mine helmet on and he's taking his boots off in the backyard. I have that picture.
You gotta imagine what those smelled like.
Probably coal.
Yeah. You ever been in a coal mine? You ever gone
on
one of the coal mine tours?
Yeah.
Well, where at?
Up here.
McDade?
McDade, yeah.
You've never been to Eckley, though?
No.
That's, yeah. Eckley is cool because they actually got the whole town And then they take you down into the mines, and it's makes you very appreciative of what happened and what you have. Because that's where the Molly Maguire's thing happened, was at Eckley.
I actually had a, what the fuck would he be, a great, whatever, I don't know, distant relative on my grandmother's
side. It's a great somebody.
Someone, there's blood involved, I don't know. But he actually was in the coal mines when the Molly Maguire's were around. My father says that one thing he'll say is, at the time, now I don't know how old he lived, but I guess he made a decent wage. So they were making some money doing this, but he would say that he wouldn't come out of the mines because of the Molly Maguire's.
Really?
So for days. So his family would, you know, come to the mine or the shaft or whatever. Maybe there was an air vent. I don't know. There's air vents in mines.
Yes.
And they'd lower a rope down, and he'd like attach his lunch pail or whatever, and they'd pull it up, and they'd put his food in, and they'd lower it back down.
No. Yeah. Really?
But yeah, at the time of the Molly Maguire's.
Wow.
Because at the time...
Well, yeah, they were...
You'd get killed.
Yeah. Well, I'll find some links to Molly Maguire's and put that up.
I have a picture of him somewhere. This is... Boy, I think he had a Model T. He was standing next to a Model T.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a Model T.
I would appreciate a Model T.
Not to drive. I mean, if I had somewhere to put
it's
it...
To store
it. As a piece.
Maybe take it out every once in a while,
but just to have, just sort of history, just to have it. You couldn't really keep it out around here because it would just get eaten by the elements.
No, you'd actually probably need to have that in a, not a humidified, but a climatized
bubble.
Where you would need something that has heat.
Yeah, I did
it for the winter. Maybe not air conditioning, but definitely heat.
Definitely humidity controlled. I was at a job a couple of weeks ago. They had it was a man cave.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a 40 by 40 garage that had a little loft that they stayed in, right? Yeah. And then the downstairs was just cars. They had like a couple of Corvettes, they had a Mustang, and then they had a Corvette in a bubble, in an inflatable bubble. And I'm just looking at it and I'm like, "What is that?" And the guy's like, "No," he goes, "It's a restored vehicle, but it's all original."
Oh, okay.
It's got the original leather. Everything's original. So they keep it in that when they're not driving it or taking it somewhere. But it's a little bubble, and it's got a dehumidifier, and it's got all that stuff in there. It's pretty cool. An inflatable bubble.
You got the money.
Well, these guys had the money. You know that really heavy cable?
Yeah.
It's called RG11. Picture the cable goes to your TV. It's twice the size of that.
Wow.
Then there's what they call 320, which is a little bit bigger than that, but it's really light. And they were using that for a while. But you can't bend it. It's made for drops. It's for houses that are, you know, 300 feet from the road. You run it in.
Non-flexible.
Yeah. Well, they told this guy, this is what you need to come from the road to the building because it's so far away. So he ran that to the building, which is awesome. But then he wired the building with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there and I see.
Oh, you have it.
Yeah. And I see it like sticking. He goes, "Oh, well, it's all pre-wired." And I'm like, "Well, we only need one drop."
Yeah.
He goes, "Well, no, that's going to the TV outlets." And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to put fittings on that and then put wall plates over it because it won't bend. So he's like, "Well, that's what's there." So the wall plates are all like bulging out, and it was funny. But he had really good signal.
Oh, I imagine.
And there was, I had to ground it to the building. It was a big metal building. It was just crazy. But...
Yeah, there's amazing how many people around here have lots of money.
And then so many people have none.
Yeah.
And then people work their asses off and
I guess
none.
That's everywhere. You know.
It is, because in Florida it was the same way. There's people, but it seemed like more people had money than didn't have money down there. But the people who didn't have money worked harder.
I think people who don't have money always kind of work harder.
Yeah. Hardy?
Hardy. Yeah. No. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little wrong there. Not to say that people who have money don't work hard, but if you're busting your ass and you need to, like, pay the water bill, that's working hard.
Yeah. Well, I got a guy I work with, who, he's like, no, I don't make a lot of money. You know, I make decent money for the area, but I really bust my ass to make that money.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's got a kid. He drives like 45 minutes in every day. It's actually his last week. He's leaving. He's going to another company, which I don't blame him. But
it's a long drive, just the drive itself.
And he's like, oh, I'm not making enough money. And I asked him how much you make, and I'm not going to put out numbers, but I made more in overtime wages this week on this paycheck than he made all week.
Jesus Christ.
So he's not doing something right. And he told me how much he made, and I'm like, what, really? And he's like, yeah. And I looked at my paycheck today, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, some people just get screwed. Yeah. And honestly, you know, there are some people who are good people. They find themselves in a situation where an employer says that you're going to get paid this.
Yeah, this is what we're paying you.
And they go, can't you do more? Or maybe they don't even say that.
No, I don't think he says anything.
And it doesn't matter, even if you do. Some people just get screwed. And you can't help it except for going somewhere else, and sometimes you can't.
And my job's unique because I don't get paid by the hour. I get paid by what I do. So I think what it is I don't think he's billing what he should be. Yeah, he's not billing correctly. Like, if I don't do something, I'm not going to bill for it. But if I'm going to bill for what I
– if you do something.
Yeah, I'm going to bill the right way. And what they do is they'll go through all our billing and they'll scratch. I've seen guys get whole days scratched out because they billed it wrong. Whole days of work. Now, when I first started with this company and I was learning their billing system, every day would have something scratched and then but replaced with something. Oh, you billed this, but it should have been this. You billed that, it should have been that. Now it's like maybe one or two codes a week I look at and they scratched it. But this one guy, he's sitting there, and I swear, everything that day, they scratched. And he's freaking out, and they look at me, and they're like, is this happening to you? And I'm like, no. But it's like we got to put in information. We got to, when we do finish
maybe
a job,
he's not
it's
actually,
all, something
maybe he
isn't.
Shouldn't be getting what he's putting in.
Yeah, but this guy makes a lot of money, though.
Well, me.
I think he's, I don't want to say he's false billing, but I think he's doing some creative billing.
Or the company goes, you're making a lot of money. So
we're taking
this. We're going to have to find creative ways for you not to make money.
Yeah.
Which also happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's some fucking companies out there.
Oh, Bean Counter. Still,
we'll just fucking bleed you dry, even if you're entitled to it.
Well, I've had that happen. I've had people come to me that, who have no idea of what I do. Like, they don't know. They've never done it.
Yeah.
They sit behind a desk and they go, well, you should be doing this. You just want to grab them, punch them in the face, and say, you come work with me for the day, and then you tell me that's what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Because you have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you think?
Yeah,
really. Oh, really?
I had it happen once where I actually got the opportunity to do that.
Once. Johnny Dangerously. No, sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
Johnny
Dangerously
reference.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I wonder if that's on Netflix.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to watch that.
That happened to me once.
My mother called me that once.
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 Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
You fork an ice hole. I love that movie. When I was 19, I worked for, Liz Claiborne. I worked in their warehouse down in Mount Pocono. And the day I started, there was one other person who started. So it was easy to remember this guy because he was the only other person. And I never saw him again for months. So... And what we did was we got the orders that people placed, companies placed for their stores. We picked those orders from the warehouse. We sent them to be checked, packed, and shipped. And one day this guy shows up, who I started with this procedure of how we should do our jobs. And he's very arrogant about it as he's telling us.
Yes. Well, I know how you should do it.
This is how this should be done.
We've had an hour-long conversation, and I know now.
How he came up with this procedure? They would take carts of clothes, pre-picked, put them in the meeting room, and then they go through and they go, well, this is how you do it. And their great idea was you take your cart, your trolley that you put your clothes on, you'd put it right up in front of the style of clothes that you're picking, and then you would look at the work order, memorize the work order, go to the aisle, starting from where you were standing to the back, pick those clothes, and then carry them back and put them on the trolley.
You're memorizing it all.
Yeah. So that was his, this is how you should do it. And he's telling people, and they're all like, oh, okay, okay. He gets to me, and I'm like, look, dude, first of all, I've been working here for like 4 months. So have you, because we started the same day. I'm not listening. I'll listen to what you have to say, but I'm going to guarantee you you're wrong. And he's like, no, no, no. This is my, I'm an engineer. You know, that's what they called him. Yeah. I'm an engineer. This is what I do.
Look at my tag.
Yeah. You're going to do this. So he shows me this procedure and I laugh at him. And everybody's looking at me like, oh, here's this, you know, young punk kid, 19 years old. He's not going to say anything. I've always been the kind of person with, there's something needs to be said. I'm going to say it. So I look at him. I said, here, I'll tell you what. I'll go through my order. And our work orders weren't just like one piece of paper. They were like maybe 12, 15 work orders with different styles. It wasn't just one style clothes you're picking. They're always multiple.
Right.
So I found three work orders that were identical or very close to identical. I took three or six of them, rather. I took three. I gave him three. I said, you go pick these and I'll go pick these. Whoever gets done first, most accurately, we go by his procedure. And he goes, oh, fine. So first of all, he's got to try to figure out, because he's got to step in front of the clothes. Now, these styles of clothes were like, now this is a huge building.
Yeah.
These aisles like 100 feet long.
I don't
long.
Even know if I could do that just by describing
them. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't hard work. It's like anything else once you figure out how to do it. But so now he's trying to figure out where he's going to set up his trolley to be most accurate. And I just go and do it. And of course, you don't memorize the work order. And I probably, like, I would hold the work order in my mouth as I'm picking, you know, and I'd look at it and see what I need. But you know, you only had certain sizes. You had right. like eight sizes. So you'd look at it and always be like, you need like one size two, one. So you always, okay, 1-1-2-2-2-1-1-1. Okay. You just boom, boom, boom. You could grab them. But you don't pick them from the front to the back and then carry all that stuff back because you're doing this all day. You're going to wear yourself out.
Right.
So you start at the back, you work your way to the front because it's heaviest at the front. And then right. you're closest to your trolley, so you got to carry the weight less distance. So then when you carry it that way, when you pick it from the back to the front, the way you hold it on your hand, when you turn it and put it on the trolley, it's already in the proper order from smallest to largest.
I see what you're saying.
The way he was doing it was backwards. Now he had to take them and reorganize. So I get done about 15 minutes before him, and I'm just sitting there. And then I said, okay, we got a couple QC people come over or order checkers come over, and they checked our orders, and he completely failed his order. And he left the floor with his head down, and if he had a tail, it would have been between his legs.
Nice.
And he was like, oh, and my supervisor, that's when me and my supervisor there became kind of friends because she walked over and she just went, that was awesome. Because he was just disrupting the floor. That's all he was doing.
Well, he was was he management? He had to be.
No.
No?
He was just an engineer. He was just
But he was.
Nope.
Given that position by management.
By management, yeah.
All right. So management wanted to make things faster and more efficient. And instead of this guy going, hey, buddy, hey, what's the best way to do this?
Yeah, they never asked. They never came to us and said, what's your procedure? How do you do it? How do you do it? Let's look at the ways people do it.
Right.
But everybody's going to do it differently. And this is the point I brought up to them and to my supervisors. Look, who cares if I do it this way and this person does it that way? As long as the order is right and it gets done, who cares what path you take to get there?
The number one problem that management makes is they presume to know how shit gets done.
Yeah, when they've never done it.
Everybody from the beginning of time wants to make things faster and more efficient.
Which I understand, and there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, because it makes life easier for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, is if you hire too many people, then you're going to have to lay them off. But if you do it right the first time,
exactly,
you could pay the people more and have less people from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But all the time, especially in corporate America, people get hired, and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And maybe they've had positions where they've made decisions like this before, or maybe they haven't. But they show up, and they're like, well, X, Y, Z. Okay, 1, 2, 3. All right, how about this? That sounds good. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes and talks to the people who do the work, and they go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. It's you're comparing apples to oranges. It's not going to work.
Right.
And they go, well, no, so-and-so said it'll work.
Yeah. In their controlled situation, it worked perfectly.
I don't know. Yeah. this person's real high up, and they must have got a big bonus. So
you got to listen to them.
Do what they tell you. It's not going to work.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. You just do it. And then after everything blows the fuck up, they come go, what are you doing wrong?
Yeah, we're following your directions. See, but that helped me. At that age, that helped me because I've had management positions. I've you know, I'm a trainer. I do things like that. But it made me realize that no matter what I tell anybody, they're going to have their own way of doing it. And as long as their end result is what we're going for,
then it doesn't matter.
Then it doesn't matter. They're not hurting anything. They're not breaking anything. They're not doing anything wrong. It just makes sense for you to do it this way and for that person right. to do it that way. Awesome. Get the job done and let's go.
The majority of the time, if you implement something different and it blows up or doesn't go according to plan, it doesn't have to do with the employees.
No.
It has to do with the people making the decisions.
Yes.
I don't want to say 9 times out of 10, but definitely the majority of time. There, you will get a time where employees are trying to skew the numbers or fuck it up. But no. Something happened in the analysis getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the kid that had work with me the other day. He was trying to run a line completely half-assed with the box of wire next to him and moving it every time he moved a foot down instead of taking the wire out, putting it up. Now, if he could have done that in this same amount of time or less or, close to the same amount of time that I could have done it the way I would do it, I wouldn't have said anything. But when I got done doing what I was doing and I did half his job and I was still sitting there for 20 minutes and he was like 10 feet along, I had to say something. Wrong way to do it. Now you're slowing me down. You're supposed to be helping me. You're slowing me down. Then I'm going to say something. But if he could have done it that way and got it done quick, then, hey, all right, that's your procedure. It works for you. It didn't work for him.
Right. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
And he quit already. 2 days. Gone.
I remember way back when I was doing landscaping. And I don't know how many jobs I had at the time. And there was this big guy shows up. Football player, I think he was a football player, something to do with sports, and he's like, oh yeah, and he's like, oh, this will be no problem, and he's very boastful.
Yeah.
And anybody who does manual labor like that, you're coming in the morning and you're just trying to get
survive
your brain. Yeah, you're getting your brain together. And looking at the day's work, and the guy was all boastful and everything else, and yeah, we could do this, we're going to do this. And you're like, okay, whatever. And then all I know from this guy, and I'm sure he's a great guy. I mean, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But we were running soil from one end of one property to the other end of another property. And at the time, we had it dumped, so you had to do it by wheelbarrow.
Right.
And it's not like he was the only one doing it. There was more than one wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
And it got to a certain point where he's just like, I need a break. And you're like, all right, what? And it got to a point where, you guys aren't stopping. And it's like,
you can't.
It's not done yet.
Yeah. Exactly. You just stop when it's done.
When it's done, then you do something else.
Yeah. Yeah, when it's done, you don't stop. You move on to the next task.
And he eventually could not even finish the day. And he was this guy, very just boastful. We could do it. Yeah. I am a football player.
Lift 400 pounds.
Right, I run this and I do that. And I'm like, that's great.
This isn't a sport.
It's not. Right, it's not. And the same thing. You have a mentality going in, this is the way it should be done. And you're like, no.
Yep.
Maybe if you, just do it first, maybe you'll have an opinion. You can have an opinion.
Yeah. I've had people like that. Even doing cable, doing the rickshaws. People who, when I did the rickshaws, now I hike a lot. I biked a lot down there. I kayaked a lot. Yeah, bike rickshaws. Yeah. It's like a big tricycle with a seat on the back. It was a hard job.
Mm.
And we had a lot of people. Now, I would bike to work 8 miles. Get on the bike, cart people around. Now, it's Florida, so it's fairly flat. That wasn't the issue. But the heat, it's a lot of physical labor. And then I would bike home 8 miles. So 16 miles of my day was just getting to and from work. And we had people who were like, same thing. I've run marathons, and I do this, and I do that. And I'm like, I just laugh. Okay, here's a bike. There's a gentleman down there. Looks like he needs a ride. He's about 350 pounds. Go give him a ride.
Give him a ride.
Because he's going a mile up the road. And they come back about 5 minutes later and drop the bike off. I quit.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Did you do this all day?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, you got to be smart about it. You got somebody, like, you know, I had a guy, he was laughing. He was 350, 400 pounds. And he flagged me down. And I pulled over and he's like, there's no way you're moving me in that bike. And I'm like, get in. I'm like, it's not free, just so you know. He goes, if you can take me to my hotel, don't worry, I'll make it worth your while. He gave me like $50.
Nice.
But I took him a mile and he's back there laughing. I was sweating.
But for a guy that big, it probably was worth it.
It was worth it. Yeah. And he's back there laughing. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And I turned around and I said, you might want to stop laughing because if I can't make it, you're walking from here. And then he laughed. But, I mean, that's, you know, I had to stop a couple times.
Yeah, well, that's a big guy.
Yeah. Oh, and he knew. And I told him. I'd stop. Like, look, man, you're a lot of customer to be carting around. You barely fit back there, so give me a second. And he just laughed, you know. Okay, so we recorded like 2 hours.
That was pretty long.
That was a long one. So we're gonna put a split here, and we'll pick this back up. I'm guessing I'm probably just gonna do it like a bonus episode.
Yeah, that's for the week,
because I don't know if I'll be. I thought it was gonna be going away. I don't know if we'll be. So we'll probably be recording on Thursday or Friday. So
can't hurt to have extra stuff out there.
Cannot hurt. So we're gonna wrap it up for this episode, episode 3, and we'll pick it up for the next one, maybe in a couple days.
All right.
All right. Later.